following presentation is a production of WLWStudios.com. You are listening to a WLW Studios production, available Fridays on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWStudios.com. Live every second Saturday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio. Broadcasted from the Midnight Jury Compound at WLW Studios North, outside of New York City, and proud to be your guide back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s, this is the Midnight Jury.
It's Friday night.
And you are listening to the Midnight Jury. We're coming to you out of the Midnight Jury compound at WLW Studios North. We're right on the Long Island Sound outside of New York City. I am one of your hosts, the 21st Century Broadcasting Marvel, Midnight Mike Norenganger.
Greetings and calutations. I'm your very best pal, Calvin Barodi.
We're here to do a movie that, shamefully, not only had I never seen until this point, but barely even knew it existed. When I think Shannon Doherty, I think her first big thing is Brenda Walsh on 90210.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely where my mind goes to. I knew that this movie existed, but had never seen it.
Yeah.
And now I have, and it's a movie that I've seen. So
I liked it more than I thought I would.
I was expecting
what I got for the first 15 minutes. Then after the first kill, and I saw how it was handled by everybody,
yeah,
I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here. Yeah, I can get behind this idea.
It goes from just Regina George to a little bit more clever than that.
Yeah, yeah, agreed with that. But you know what? She's not even Regina George is her.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, of course.
When you really break it down and think about it.
Of course.
Oops, sorry about that.
Uh-oh.
my phone just went off there for a second. But it's because I'm looking up some information of things we have to get over. But So when were you aware of this film? I feel like I may have gotten a drop or two of it since 90210, maybe, where I heard, but never put two and two together that it was like, oh, Shannon Doherty had done this movie. But I didn't realize it was like Christian Slater and Winona Ryder.
Yeah, I mean, again, I had been familiar with it just from various girlfriends that I've had that have liked it. And then they remade it for, I think, Netflix this past year in 2018. And it was...
They remade it?
Yeah. Like soft. So they remade it so that the cast was accurately diverse.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that no one.
So there's another version of this movie?
I believe so.
I might check it out.
A darker, not quite as understanding of how it should be a comedy, and that, to be honest, at least going back through my notes, at least some of this seems to be me not understanding the over-the-topness or the satire of it all, because a lot of my notes, like, I'm playing it straight. Like, why is she so okay with Christian Slater being willing to murder a person?
I noticed right after the first killing, and she goes, and it looks like a suicide.
Yeah.
And how everyone reacts to the suicide, including her parents, who are just the next morning, like, having breakfast like nothing had happened.
Yeah.
I right there, I was like, oh, this is this kind of movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is because it's too obvious.
Yeah.
That these people could really give a rat's ass about anything. No, they're just so into their own lives.
Yeah.
In this town.
Yeah. And we'll get into it. I don't want to get too much into it.
Yeah.
But I had known of it. And there's, you know, anytime you have something like the Heathers, you can relate it to some sort of analog that you've seen in your life, just like with the plastics, just like with even worse in summer. You know, they're very easy, not even necessarily archetypes, but analogs that you can fit into, because obviously nobody's quite as comic book villain as these Heathers are in this movie, but you can,
or Regina George later
or
on,
exactly, yeah. But you can attribute certain aspects of it to people that you know. So like, there's in my Clark Kent job, my regular person job, my normie job, it's not the case anymore, but for a couple of years there were three girls that worked there that were like thick as thieves, and they're all sweethearts to me, but I knew that they were of the kind that if you rubbed them the wrong way, not that they would, you know.
I thought you were saying they were fat.
No.
When you said thick as thieves, I was like, that's a new one. But
no, I like peas in a pod. They were very similar in personality to each other. They got along very, so they were very close.
A clique.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it was again,
not to be confused with the clique.
No, certainly
which
not.
Which is the Razor and Sean and
right.
them.
Exactly. What was it? Yeah, no, so it was just, again, it makes me think of those girls, and that's part of why I like it. But
well, let me give you a quick shout out. We have a Patreon up that we really would love people to help us out. Lowest tier, $3 a month. And with that, you're getting the Midnight Mike Show, bonus episodes of the Midnight Jury. And we have a lot of people who have helped us out, but we would like that to continue. We want to build a new studio. We want to release content that will include video and blue or green screens, things to that nature. And
right.
we can't do that without getting the equipment and all your guys' support. And we really do appreciate it. So our executive producers, Baza, Giovanni, Jay, Joseph, JP, Michael, Kathy, producer Anthony, and Eric. Guys, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting the Midnight Jury and giving all you can. And Jay and Kathy have gone above and beyond. I always say this, but you guys deserve a special shout out.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's over at patreon.com/midnightjury. If you want to support us without spending a dollar, go over to iTunes, go over to anywhere you listen to your podcast and give us a 5-star good review or a thumbs up. Anything like that would help. But either way, we got to get back to this show. We are going to be doing the Heathers from 1987.
89.
This is, or 88.
I
got 88.
I saw 89 on IMDb.
Interesting. All right, well, we're going to have to figure that out, because otherwise the Midnight Machine we've talked about, it'll just go haywire.
Yeah.
So let's figure that out. And until then, we've got to go to our ads. But first, we have our TV show theme of the week, which I know I've played a million times as our TV show theme of the week. But when you have someone from 90210 in the movie, you got to go with
yeah.
Beverly Hills 90210. Certainly. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Zach Ward from Freddy vs. Jason and also Scott Farkas from A Christmas Story.
This is Ari Lehman, the first Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th.
Hey, this is the innovator of Loud, Tommy Dreamer.
This is Sean Whalen from Never Been Kissed, Twister, People Under the Stairs, That Thing You Do.
This is Deborah Voorhees from Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Hey, this is Buff Bagwell and you're listening to The Midnight Jury.
And you are listening to The Midnight Jury.
And you are listening to The Midnight Jury.
You're listening to The Midnight Jury.
And you are listening to Midnight Jury.
And you're listening to The Midnight Jury. Jason never dies.
Buff Daddy, listen to it!
Hey, it's Mike. First, we want to thank everyone who has downloaded or streamed this show through TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Player FM, or our home at WLW Studios. You, our listeners, are extremely important to us, and you can help us out without even spending a dime by making sure you download from our website, WLWstudios.com, follow us on Twitter, at Midnight Jury, and give us a like on Facebook. The little things you do, such as retweeting, sharing, liking, and favoriting, is what helps keep our show alive and helps push our newest movements, including hashtag Jury or Die and hashtag Fight Censorship. Freedom of speech should never be censored from anyone, and corporate media has done their best to silence us, but you, the listeners, have helped so much in that fight. Once again, we want to extend our deepest appreciation to everyone who took the time to find us, and we hope you continue to enjoy the show.
What's up, everybody? This is Handsome Dan Lopez, the smartest man not in professional wrestling, and host of Handsome Dan's Final Say, which is officially back on WLWstudios.com, as well as the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. We premiere new series and specials on Tuesdays, so follow me on Twitter at Dan's Final Say or Facebook.com/Dan's Final Say to make sure that you don't miss a single episode. Raise your wrestling IQ.
Broadcasting outside the city that never sleeps, this is WLWstudios.com, New York City.
On the Midnight Jury, getting ready to do Heathers from 1988, but it was released says 88, but it was released in March of 1989.
It was released in Italy in October of 88, I think, for a festival. And then,
we're not Italian,
correct?
So we'll go 89.
Yeah, we'll go 89.
That's fine. This is the song that is played, like the band.
What's the group? It's like.
I might have written it somewhere.
It's like something stupid.
Oh, yeah. Fun, Big Fun or...
Fun Town or something. Whatever.
So that's what that shirt was that people were wearing and that they put on, like, the Barbie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun size, fun group.
Calvin Brody, you know what should have happened by now?
What should have happened by now?
Lewis should be getting me a cup of coffee. Jeff should have sent you in the information.
Correct.
For the movie Heather, so give it to us.
Budget was an estimated $3 million. Opening weekend, April 2nd, 1989, in the U.S., it raked in a staggering $177,247, with a gross in the USA of $1.1 million.
Really?
This movie bombed the shit
out
of itself, out of the fucking box office.
Yeah, that is bad.
This was a box office failure. I mean, on par with nothing that I know, where it lost almost $2 million.
Oh, and that's not just for, like, you would think if that was first weekend, they were only made a million, and you're like, okay, well, they'll still make it up.
Yeah,
no.
First weekend they made beans.
That's really bad.
I guess people just weren't into it.
I wonder if they released it right, like full. Like I mean, that, look, I was like 9 at the time, 9 or 10 years old at the time.
Yeah,
I would have remembered this. I would. I don't think I remember ever seeing advertisements or anything.
Oh, well,
for this.
It does. To be fair, it does say on IMDb opening weekend it was 177,000 limited release.
Okay,
so that was probably what, just the bigger markets. Probably not necessarily nationwide.
Yeah.
So it's probably just big cities.
But then that still sounds like it didn't do good.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay.
Yep.
That's depressing. Yep. This movie's better than that.
Yeah.
It's better than that.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's worth seeing. Even if it wasn't the best movie I've ever seen, it's worth seeing.
All right. So you gave us those numbers. Next thing we do is we hop in the Midnight Machine, and we have to head back. Hold on, let me make sure I have my stuff right. Got to put in the coordinates right, otherwise we are fucked.
Right.
Let's head back to 1989.
Initiate sequence.
A Midnight Jury flashback.
The 1980s.
And we are back. Nice trip back to 89. We went to 89 last week, didn't we? With the Burbs.
I think so.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, it's been comfortable.
Yeah,
it's been certainly a nice comfortable flight. Like if you were on business, travel all the time from New York to LA, eventually it's just got to become standard fare.
Yeah.
Comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that you don't you love it. Who wants to go that far? Luckily the Midnight Machine is so quick.
I'm over flying, man. Flying is
All right, so we got to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
That's maybe explains it, because this trailer doesn't look too, like, doesn't look like big budget. Like, a lot of advertising was put into this movie.
Oh, really?
So we'll see. All right, here's the trailer that I found for Heathers.
Let's do it.
Heather Chandler, Heather McNamara, Heather Duke, Veronica Sawyer.
Why are you such a mega brat?
Because I can be.
The most powerful clique at Westerberg.
Hi, Veronica. Drool much?
Most people would die to get into it.
Heather number one just looked right at me.
I'm worshipped at Westerberg, and I'm only a junior.
Veronica would kill to get out of it.
You were nothing before you met me. You were a Girl Scout cookie.
JD has come to answer her prayers.
I'm a no-rest build-up man myself.
We'll kill her.
Every line of his.
He's got a way with a way with words.
Is this as good for you as it is for me?
Is it as for you as it is for me?
A very special way with a gun. Veronica can't live with him.
Help! I love my dead gay son.
Without him.
Right in the fucking trailer.
Had at least 70 more people at my funeral.
What?
Their meeting was destiny.
That knife is filthy.
What do you think I'm gonna do with it? Take out her tonsils?
Their love has a body count.
Loved you. I was coming up here to kill you.
That's it. We're breaking up. Young love.
Heather's a killer comedy.
Well, that's it. Whoops, sorry. Hit it again. All right, that's the trailer for Heathers. And I mean, you know what's weird? Like I said, when I went in to watch this, I didn't even know that stuff was going on. So I didn't even see a trailer or anything. I literally thought it was going to be like a Mean Girls of the 80s.
Right.
I didn't expect any murder. I didn't expect anything like that.
Yep.
So, but that trailer does make it clear as to what they were planning on doing, at least.
Yeah.
But let's get into it. 1989 Heathers.
And now, our feature presentation.
So this is Winona Ryder, Christian Slater, Shannon Doherty. That's all I got.
That's all you need.
Okay, good. You meet the three Heathers playing croquet. So as they said in the trailer, it's three girls in this clique named Heather, and then Winona Ryder, who I'm just going to call Winona Ryder,
well, yeah,
is named Veronica.
Yep.
So, and I also call, I don't call Shannon Doherty Heather.
Call
I call her Brenda or Shannon Doherty, full
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
So that, but that's good, because if we just kept saying Heather and being, oh, the other Heather, that exactly. Heather, whatever. Winona Ryder diary seems to narrate this movie at points, but then at other points doesn't. So it definitely starts and ends with the diary, and then there's like one or two in between where she's writing in the diary. But maybe it doesn't narrate the movie, but her narration of what she's writing in her diary plays separate parts. So you know what's going on in her head.
Serves as exposition for her motives in the upcoming parts of the movie, yeah.
I didn't really have anything on this opening scene of them playing croquet. I thought it was weird to see people playing croquet.
Yeah.
But we had croquet mallets and balls when I was a kid for our yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was pulled out like once or twice.
Yeah. It was definitely weird. I messed it up. I call it polo in my notes because I'm stupid. So like, is that opening sequence, is that a daydream? Or
no, I thought that was just them.
Like, they literally made, like...
Oh, because she's buried in the ground? Because
she's buried up to her neck, yeah, and they're maybe. Hitting the balls in her face.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
but it's, like, just crazy enough in this movie.
Yeah, like, in this movie, it could be real.
Yeah, so I don't know. Her writing in the diary is huge.
Yes.
It's huge and atrocious. It's, like, 12 words a page.
I was going to say the same thing. Ridiculous. I actually was going to say 12 words a page. It's because I was thinking, like, maybe three a line, maybe four lines.
Yeah.
Maybe a few more lines, like very close. It's like 8 to 15 words in on a page.
But we switched to inside the school, and
that's my first note where I said I laughed at the blonde curly Heather, who's the main character Heather.
Yeah.
Her shoulder pads are above and beyond anyone else's. Like, other people have them, but she comes in looking like Ace Frehley on the Dynasty tour. So I thought that was really funny. Yeah, if you don't know Ace Frehley's Dynasty tour era costume, go check that out. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Now, it's established here, essentially, not through any sort of real exposition, but just sort of as part of her...
One of her talents?
The initial mission, for lack of a better term, that Winona Ryder is given by curly-haired blonde Heather.
Well, it's not even a mission. She has a talent.
Yes.
For being able
to mimic handwriting.
Handwriting
yeah. style, right. So she's like a chameleon with handwriting.
Which is a weird...
Very out of left field superpower. And again, it's never mentioned...
How do you think you could take advantage, in this day and age, how do you think you could take advantage of that superpower? In 2019, how do you take advantage of the superpower of being able to mimic other people's handwriting?
The only thing that...
I can only picture being in school for signing notes from your parents.
In school?
That's it.
Or if you manage to get your hand on, like, checks, you fill it out as them.
That's true.
I mean, until they fucking put a stop to it.
But you'd have to get their checks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we ended up having to get checks recently, but I went 10 years without getting checks.
Yeah, no, it's... Like,
who the fuck uses checks? The other day, I was at the fucking supermarket... And a person paid with a check, and I almost shit my pants.
I did that in college.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, are you, this is 2019. You're pulling out a check?
A debit card is a check. Just
yeah, don't stick it in and pull it out. I fucking write out a check.
Outrageous. Yeah, so again, Winona Ryder can mimic people's handwriting, and so Blonde Heather tells her, write a love letter to this fat girl in this jock's handwriting.
Oh, that girl throughout my notes, I just have her as Artie Lang.
Okay.
It looks just like Artie Lang.
See, there's a character on the show Community named Fat Neil that she looks like to me.
Is that a boy, too?
Yes.
Okay, so we're both comparing her not to a fat woman.
Correct.
But to a fat man.
Fat man, yes. And so Winona Ryder's like, I don't really want to do that. But, of course, that doesn't mean anything. So Blonde Heather tells Shannon Doherty, bend over, because she needs a table.
They're in a cafeteria.
She tells her, bend over, she needs something to write on. And she does. Okay. And that's exactly what I said. So this movie is ridiculous.
And then isn't there like a bunch of like football players being like, I'd like to bang that ass out.
That's my next note, because one of those, the guy who plays the character of Ram
nice.
In this, goes on to star in the TV show JAG.
Nice.
As Lieutenant Junior Grade Bud Roberts.
Yeah. JAG was the burn notice of its time.
JAG served as, well, what's funny is NCIS, which is celebrating its 7,000th season, is a spinoff of JAG.
That wow. Interesting.
There you go. JAG is actually, it's a very good show. It really was.
Move on.
Let's move on.
Move on past JAG.
Then Christian Slater has taken an interest in the whole thing. But what I wonder is he new to the school?
It seems like he's new, yeah.
Because, they never say that he is.
No, I think they do.
Do they? Because his fascination with the Heathers, if he's not new to the school, then the behavior of the Heathers must be a fairly new development if it's taking him. He has such rapt fascination with it, you know? But if he's new to the school, then it makes sense. Because it seems like everyone else, this is just the established hierarchy. So if you're not new to this environment, or this isn't something that has just started to happen, I feel like everyone would be like, what's going on with this girl? Why is she so mean? And everyone's okay with it, you know? But everyone seems to have been beaten into submission by this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know. It looks like he seems to know what they're doing, but there's no way of him of knowing, because they're doing it in like in the middle of a loud cafeteria, and he's sitting as far as you can in the corner,
the furthest corner.
So
possible.
he doesn't hear or know what they're doing.
No,
but he seems like he's judging.
Like he knows that it's something mean.
Yeah. And I mean, was he all doing that? And he also was also checking out Winona Ryder.
Possibly,
it seemed like he was checking out Winona Ryder.
They decide that they're going to do a lunch poll, which...
No, that's not decided. I think that's they do it for the school newspaper.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, they do it every month, like every week.
Right.
They do a school lunch poll.
So they have to do a school lunch poll, which at first, the way it the idea is brought across, you imagine that it's going to be something embarrassing or mean, and it's not. It's just this, like, what if?
It's a terrible what if.
Yeah, it's a really terrible what if. But while they're walking around to do it, Winona Ryder walks into a girl's chair and the girl apologizes. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Veronica. And she's like, oh, it's okay. And I said, oh, look at that. A popular girl and an unpopular girl used to be friends before the popular girl got popular. That's like every...
That's the girl she ends up hanging out with later?
Yes.
If she took off her glasses, she could be and did makeup and shit. She could be in the popular group.
Right. They should have had Heathers too, where they turn her into a presenter.
Yeah, or like a She's All That kind of scenario.
Yeah, right. One of the tables, it switches to another table, and one guy goes, here comes Heather. Another one goes, ah, shit. And I just said, LOL, Regina George, all of it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a perfect, like, Rachel McAdams did such a great job channeling whoever this nobody is, because I don't think she's gone on to do anything else. She didn't look familiar to me. She did such a great job channeling that, I think. And I don't know necessarily if I feel like it's almost a foregone conclusion that this movie had to have served as some sort of a either template or inspiration either for performances or the idea in general of Mean Girls.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just the parallels, it's fun.
Although what I'm up to is when Artie Lang reads the note.
Hold on. Real quick before that, just getting into the poll. The question is basically, you win Publishers Clearing House for $5 million, and the same day you get the check, aliens beam down and say they're going to destroy the Earth in 2 days. What do you do?
Well, you'd really only have, in even today's world...
You would end up with like $2.5 million.
Okay,
maybe.
So you'd have $2.5 million.
Yeah.
And then you'd also have to wait at least a day if you can get to the bank in time for the check to clear.
Right. Well, let's assume, let's just say...
The day you cash the check.
It's
in your bank account.
Then you have that money. And it starts then, so there's $2.5 million. And I just said, A, why is this a real question? Obviously, the answer would be, quote, use that money to have the absolute greatest time over the next 2 days that anybody could have.
Yeah.
If the world's going to be destroyed, I'm going to live it up.
Well, not only that, but it's two suspensions of disbelief.
Yeah.
I was able
to win the lottery.
You were able to win $5 million.
But then something else crazy also happened.
What would you do with $5 million?
Yeah,
or what would you do if aliens were going to blow up the Earth in 2 days?
Yeah,
it's combined the two.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, well, I guess anything I want for 2.5 days, I guess. And I said, B, why are the other answers so stupid? The one guy says, quote, I'd give that load to my dad, LOL, because he's like one of the top brokers in the state. And I said, returns on that investment would take longer than 2 days, and the world would be exploded
but
by
that's
then.
The point.
Idiot.
That's the point. He's an idiot.
And then the other girl goes, if I won that, I'd give it all to the homeless. I said, A, that's like not even a real answer, but way to feel good about yourself. B, how would you go about doing that exactly?
In 2 days, where then they can
not even
benefit
that.
From it.
Yeah, exactly. But not even that. You can't walk into a bank with a burlap sack that has a money sign on it and say, here's $2.5 million. I'd like this to be distributed fairly and equally among the poor. Thank you. And they do it. The poor line up for their dividend of your money that you've decreed is just for the homeless. Like, it doesn't make any sense just on the face of it. And again, that is sort of the point. This whole vapid, and it is the two extremes. One is the extreme benefit to myself because my dad's like one of the top brokers in the state versus the extreme benefit to everyone else that makes just as little sense.
I was thinking about it, and if I had to distribute to the homeless, I would, first off, you don't want everyone to get like a buck.
Yeah,
that doesn't help nobody.
That's stupid.
So let's say you have $5 million.
Okay.
So I'd say $100,000 for a homeless person would be a nice amount of money to have, correct?
Yeah.
So what I would do, so you'd have 50 chances.
Even 10,000, but
you'd have,
we can go 100.
Well, let's make it easy. So we'll say you have 50 chances now.
Okay.
50 homeless people that you could give $100,000 to.
Right.
I wouldn't just go into a city and whatever. What I would do is start a little road trip across small parts of the country.
Yeah.
And each one I found, make a whole reality TV show about it. And when I find a homeless person, like if you go into a diner, or you go to a gas station, hey, are there any homeless around here? Like people who, ask you for food every now and then, or people you know,
right?
Whatever. And then just do this like thing and make a whole reality show out of it.
Yeah.
And well, as you find them, it'd be that you'd find out their stories. You'd talk to them for a while. Well, by the end of the episode, you give them the $100,000.
That's what I was going to say. So is it just literally luck of the draw? Like you could be someone who's escaped from the law and you're a drug addict. And the $100,000 might be fucking wasted, but you were lucky enough to win this. Or it's like
people are hard on their luck.
Like veterans.
Or people who are hard on their luck.
Yeah,
who aren't. You know, homeless just to whatever. Just or if I found him, maybe it was just a drug problem, or maybe you find one and it is a drug problem or an alcohol problem.
Right.
What I would do is I'd say, okay, well, here's what I was going to do. I was
you
going
see
to
see all
give
this money.
You,
I was going to give it to you. Not
I
anymore.
Was going to give you $100,000.
Not anymore, junkie.
But now that I find out that you're, you know, and see that you are abusing whatever narcotic or whatever alcohol. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pay for you to go to a 90-day rehab.
He's like, fuck you, man.
And if you get through it, then the money that I paid for that will come out of your $100,000.
Right. And you'll get the balance.
Yeah. That's what
That's
I would
fair.
Do.
That yeah. seems fair. Fair
so enough. You clean these people up, and they have a huge motivation.
Yeah.
And then they come out, they're clean, and they have this money and can move wherever they want. They don't have to. You know how the big problem is people will go back to
where they were,
and then they'll have friends and stuff like that. Here's this money. Go start your life over.
Meanwhile, you tell this homeless guy, give up drugs, go to rehab, and fucking a day and a half later, the world gets fucking blown up.
I'm taking away that. I was just saying.
Had the money.
Well, because you were talking about how you would distribute it, bag with a money symbol on it to a bank. And I was thinking here's what I would do. I'd make it like a whole thing. Because if I'm giving out $5 million to the homeless, I've got to have money too, because I'm not going to give out all my money.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
And be homeless yourself?
Exactly.
The fucking gift of the Magi? No. Wrong.
Yeah, what am I here?
Wrong.
This is like if I have $1,000,000,000 and then I want to give $5 million out to the homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I would do
it. If I want to give away a decimal point in my fucking bank account. Yeah, so now, and I just said, so it shows them going around to all these different groups, and it's just such a motley crew of people that are interviewed. Some of the stoners, some of the punks, some of the geeks. Everybody's silly. Now to the fat girl. The fat girl goes over and talks to the jock, and shows him the note and basically says that she wants to get down to business. And they laugh in her face, and it makes me feel bad.
Yeah, they just literally laugh in her face, and she runs away.
This girl has done literally nothing wrong
to anybody
aside from being except look like Artie Lang. Unattractive. Yeah. Though to be fair, why would you go up to the dude in the middle of lunch when he's sitting with his friends? Like he's going to be like, yeah, like you're the one that I want. Like these guys, don't worry about these guys. You're the only one that I see. No, in high school?
Because then all that would happen is all of them would have been laughing at both of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're not going to get any sort of real reaction from this dude in front of his friends. Just like if you're a single guy, and literally like a single guy, and you try to go up to talk to a girl, and she's at a table, you know, with her friends, it's not, you're not talking to just this girl. That's not how that works. You know, and so you, if you're setting yourself up for it, I feel less bad for you. There is one Heather. They dress in colors. So there's a red Heather, a yellow Heather, and a blue Heather.
Yellow Heather.
The yellow Heather, the Heather who always wears yellow, has a face that reminds me of a lion.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
And I also mentioned that head Heather, which red Heather, blonde Heather, just has such a good disgusted face. Winona Ryder goes to finally talk to Christian Slater, and he's like, oh, greetings and salutations and
he's
90s
the worst.
Hair and too how smart
he,
for the,
how
for my
did
own
he
good.
Ever have a career?
I
and you know who he you know who talks like him? Who when I was listening to him went, is this where he learned to act?
Who?
JTT.
Really?
Yeah, he talks like that.
Yeah.
In a lot of things.
Yeah. And it's, no, I guess a
little
he
bit, has yeah. a less offensive Christian Slater voice. It's really weird. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, to those of you who...
Obviously.
If you don't know who JTT is, yeah.
God.
If you, God, if you haven't read a Tiger Beat ever.
Christian Slater talks to Winona Ryder, and then Winona Ryder, you know, reads him the question, and Blonde Heather comes around and just gives him this look, and it's just such a good, disgusted face. I love it. Then the two jocks decide, hey, they were talking to those girls. We can't have that. So they go over and start to give him a hard time, and Christian Slater shoots them both in the face, but it was blanks, so it was a joke. Do you get it?
Hold on,
Did you?
I want to make sure that we're gonna get. Yeah, you might be like so many notes in front of me.
Did you get it? Possibly.
Okay.
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
I'm down here. Let me get to there. Okay. So check it out. So you're right. Artie Lang gets embarrassed. Heather, I wrote. Winona is clearly growing out of the Heathers.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
just, at this point, at the beginning of the movie, you're seeing like she's just tired of this antics of being bitches for no reason and everything. And she approaches Christian Slater. She actually asks him the question, what would you do with the $5 million? He's like, roll out into the middle of a lake with my tequila, my sax, and Bach.
Oh, God.
And I was like, you are such a tool.
Probably the cheese house. We go to see an opera, probably. Yeah.
Deflator mouse.
And then I'd drive to an abandoned beach, turn on the radio, and we could slow dance till the sun comes up.
Are you serious?
Hey, you come up with this shit.
Well, yeah.
Definitely.
So that's
jackhammer.
What I thought of. That's Dante.
When I'm done.
Definitely a jackhammer.
When I'm done. I mean, there was some pressure, and when I'm done, you're not the same. You're changed.
I like that. That reminds me of when Dwight, they say, give us three words that describe you. And he's like, powerful. You know, like, powerful. Leader. You know, I don't know. Never going to quit. Merciless. And he just keeps going. Like, merciless is one of them. But anyway, all right, let's keep moving along. So he's going to roll out into the middle of a lake. He talks like kind of like Brad Dourif.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Brad Dourif is a doll.
Brad Dourif was also Grima Wormtongue in...
No, he's been in a
Lord of the
things.
Rings, The Two Towers, and Lord yes. of the Rings, Return of
and
the
King.
And
he was in Halloween, the remake. He was in...
Was he?
Yeah, he was the sheriff, Daniel Harris's dad.
Oh, the remake.
Sheriff, yes.
Then, not the 2018
no,
movie.
No.
The
and
Rob
then
Zombie.
He was in Urban Legend. He was the weird guy at the beginning. There's someone in the back
oh,
seat.
Oh, that's right. That's
Brad
right.
Dourif.
That's right.
Daniel Harris is also in that.
God, I love Daniel Harris.
Yeah, she is really a smoking hot
I
chick.
Do.
Have we ever done her for She's Got the Look?
I feel like we might have.
I'll check back. Maybe one day we'll
research.
We'll do
research.
Her, that's a good easy A.
That is a good easy A. Absolutely.
All right. So I wrote, like Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire, why was it cool, so cool in the 80s to play the sax?
Yeah.
Like, why? I honestly, here at this part of the movie, once again, I didn't know it was going to turn into this fun-loving murder, suicide romp.
Right.
So I thought we were going to be getting a lot of scenes of Christian Slater playing the sax, like Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire.
That's actually wacky because in Better Off Dead, which is like 85, if John Cusack's character plays the sax.
Yep. You're cool if you played the sax. I remember being in band in the 80s, and you get to pick your instrument, and everybody wanted to play the sax. Yes. Like every guy wanted to play the sax.
It was like a Charlie Parker thing. I don't know. Charlie Parker played the sax? I think Charlie Parker played the sax.
I don't know. And then even into the 90s, fucking Bill Clinton on Arsenio Hall starts playing the sax. People are like, whoa, he's cool.
Everyone's like, I want a blowjob in the Oval Office. Bro, my sister has a friend, it was like her roommate in college, who literally, like, she loves Bill Clinton, and literally because she thinks he's like the sexiest fucking guy around. Like,
he has
Not now.
He has
now
never
he looks
in
like fucking
life.
Bobby Heenan.
No,
but like,
he has never in his
but
life
she,
been a sexy individual.
Like, she was like soaked for Bill
That's
Clinton.
So weird.
It's very strange.
Here we come. Hard F coming out. Fag dropped by the football
players. Yeah, they say this a few times in this movie.
What are you, fag?
Wow.
Like, and I was like,
this is no fag territory, fag.
And I'm thinking, I liked it when you could throw words around like this.
It doesn't need to mean gay person anymore.
I don't care if it means gay person.
Like, almost daily when I'm driving, if the light turns green and I'm not immediately going, I'm like, come on, fags.
Well,
sometimes
I'll call my cats that because they just
come on, fags.
I'm like, oh, you guys are such fags. but my point being is, I'm not talking about an everyday lingo. What I'm saying is, if there's bullies in a movie, you can have them say fag, and it's not offensive because they're bullies.
Yeah, they're
and
supposed
these are they're supposed to be jerk offs,
socially reprehensible.
Exactly. But in today's, you know,
even bullies
today's
are like,
society, even bullies can't be anti PC.
There's I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a short, very short, like meme video on the internet. I think it's pretty old because that's how my knowledge of internet memes goes. But it's like cell phone footage of two kids arguing at like a school in like a resource room. And one kid is sitting in front of a computer, but he's turned back talking to his friend. And he goes, you know, you're making me mad. You don't want me to say what I'm going to say. And the kid's like, just say it. Just say it. And he goes, I'm not sorry you broke your elbow. And that's it. And that's what I feel like people think bullying should be. It's just this like non-offensive, like I'm going to state something that happened to you and mention that I personally am not sorry that that occurred to you. Like it's like so against the idea of what a bully is. Like a bully is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. That's why they're bullies and not just people who just talk to you. That's why they're not your friends. Friends say things that they make you uncomfortable, but they're your friends. You know, bullies say things specifically designed to hurt you,
to offend you and piss you off.
Exactly. So that you fight so that they can say, I'd want to fight you.
Now, even though the hard F was only dropped like once or twice by these football players, we dropped it like probably 8 or 9 times right in there.
Now
that's just life. It's just how it goes. If you don't like it.
It was in an expository manner. It wasn't us actively calling.
Well, no, but then we admitted, like, yeah, I call my cats.
It was us saying that we do.
Yeah.
Do it. But in this
so they're giving him shit. And at this point, he pulls out a gun and shoots them.
Yes.
And I'm like, in my notes, I'm like, wait, he shoots them?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you find out that the kids are just walking around school, and the two are like, the two of the Heathers are basically talking about if he should be getting in any trouble or suspended or anything for doing it. And they're like, yeah, they were just blanks.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I was like, he should be in jail. It's
a
like,
dude
just
pulled out a gun and shot directly at people.
Yeah.
Now, they were blanks. But he had a gun in school, and there's a debate going on on what kind of punishment he could possibly receive. Should it be nothing?
Yeah, it was just a joke.
It was a joke.
It's not my fault. These two jocks can't take a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
I guess we're not allowed to do Mad Libs.
Is this America?
Not
only that, we lived in America.
He had this thing in his pocket. He apparently was just waiting for an opportunity to
shoot
somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was very much like Ally McBeal or something like that, where it's these daydreams that they that slip into up, like
yeah,
scrubs.
Yeah, real quick, yeah.
Where it's like, obviously, he didn't shoot two students in the face.
Or like 30 Rock does it a lot.
Yeah, but it's something that he imagines. And instead, nope, he really did have a real gun.
Yep.
It was just loaded with blanks. Ridiculous. Goddamn ridiculous.
So the next scene I have is her at her house, and you find out that the place they play croquet, I figured that would have been the main Heather's house.
Exactly.
But it's really Winona Ryder's house. Yeah. And so she, after to that day, I guess goes home and is eating with her mom and her dad out on that little balcony,
veranda.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. And they ask her a question or say something, and she goes, and she uses this like twice in the movie, I got a motor if I want to be ready for the party tonight. when was that a term? Like, honestly, I feel like that was her trying to make fetch happen.
It's right up there. They also, a couple of times in this movie, talk about how something is so very. That's so very.
Huh.
And it's like very, because in one context, it's almost like that's so very cool. But then in another context, it almost seems like it's so very needlessly extra. It was something that Christian Slater said. So it was something pompous.
I feel like they were trying to make things happen.
Almost. It was like they were trying to set the lingo, like art.
Like Clueless did.
Life influences art, influences life.
Yeah. So. And I think Clueless did that.
Yes.
One of those movies that brought
that did all, the what if
yeah,
and the
as
the,
if
all of that yeah, yeah. Or the as if
as
what
if
what if
no is as if and what are the
what
other?
If
there's a
the
few.
Germans
I
won
still
the war,
I
you guys.
Still call certain it's like see certain like girls or whatever and describe them as Monets.
Oh yeah,
just
well,
because
that,
it's a good way of describing
that's been
it.
Around that's been around forever,
but I feel like it got brought forth in our generation by Clueless.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I knew about it a little bit before Clueless.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
My Bad. That's Clueless.
Was that Clueless?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. She remembers she's like, oops, my bad.
Yeah,
we got to do Clueless.
We do have to do
what
Clueless.
What a great movie. What a great film.
That is a great movie.
They're part of it, but they were never
girls.
That mean.
So many hot girls. No. They're actually very
sweet. They're the mean girl group, but they're
very,
nice.
Very sweet. But like, it's the mean girl group because you have girls like Amber. But you have
Ambular.
But then you have these two girls where they take fucking Brittany, Brittany Murphy under their wing. They give her the makeover. They turn her into not a piece of shit.
Yeah, Clueless is great.
God, I love Clueless.
Yes, Clueless is fucking fetch.
That's not gonna happen. Stop trying to.
Well, if we could try to make Motor happen, and
but yeah, so her parents are just these like they're. Just these kind of like one-dimensional. They're not vapid. Like vapid makes you think airheady and stupid. And they're not. They just kind of.
I feel like they're like robotic parents.
They like they don't.
They're always sitting doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Talking in the same
just
tone.
About the same.
Almost
stuff,
like you know the
yeah.
Carnival or the Carousel of Progress.
Yes.
At Disney.
Yeah.
Like they're
that.
Animatronics
yeah.
that sit there and are always repeating the same kind of talking points.
Now I did find it because the dad at one point.
With no real emotion.
Opens his hardcover book and says, why do I keep reading these spy novels? And she goes, because you're stupid. And that's her comeback another time where he smokes a cigarette and wants to know. But I find myself very interested to know what spy novel he was reading. As someone who has...
Likes to read.
In the past couple of years, really gotten into spy novels, I'd be interested, what is it, like a Jack Ryan book? Are you reading some Tom Clancy? What are we reading?
You couldn't
here?
Tell.
No, I couldn't see the cover. I don't think. I'll have to go back through and maybe see what's up. Could be like a David Balducci, like a Absolute Power, something like that.
Okay,
we'll see.
Well, so Veronica, Winona Ryder, heads out with Heather One, Big Heather, the main Heather,
because they're going to a Remington College party.
Correct.
Yes.
Is that like a razor or a dry razor or a Remington?
Remington is like a gun
a steel.
Gun manufacturer.
Okay.
I mean, Remington Steel is
yeah.
what was a character, but Remington, I feel like, is a firearms manufacturer. Or
okay,
was.
Well, either way, they're going to this college party.
Yes.
They stop at a convenience store or gas station convenience store something
right.
on the way.
Where
and
Christian
somehow,
Slater is.
Yeah, Christian Slater is there. Does he carry around like a guitar or something? Or sax?
No.
Okay.
No. Nothing like that. He's just a weirdo. Now, what he also gives some. What this is, his character is like 6 or 7 years too early. His character. Does not belong in a 1989 movie. His character belongs in a Kevin Williamson movie because it's this over-verbose,
Yeah.
Too cool, too smart for the room, sort of condescending, over-explanatory, just like...
Yeah, he talks like everyone on Dawson's Creek.
Exactly, exactly. And so he does some sort of something where she's like, oh, I didn't expect to see you here. And he's like, oh, well, convenience stores are the only... You know, when I lived in this place and then this place, the only thing that was similar was a place like this and this and whatever. While they're walking around, there is an open container of strawberry licorice, one of which Winona Ryder takes and begins to eat. Now, I don't know this place. This takes place in a town called Sherwood, Ohio. And I don't know how it is out in Ohio. But those licorice twists are Red Vine registered trademark. Now, Red Vine... I was under the impression, is exclusively or primarily West Coast. It's out in California, Oregon, Washington. They have red vines. East Coast, you have Twizzlers. But, again, I don't know how it is in Ohio.
Like they have In-N-Out Burger.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, like, we have Wawa. They have, you know, something.
We have Quick Check.
Right.
Wawa is more
that's
Philly.
That's all still this one coast.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I thought that was wacky. It's a little, it kind of flies under the radar, but at the same time, is obvious if you.
Yeah, I wrote that in this convenience store. His little accent thingy he has is even more prominent and sickening. I just really have a hard time with it.
She's so this whole thing, and I get that again. It's a satire, and so it's supposed to be this sort of, but it's like. She's such a needless hypocrite where she tells him, I hate my friends. And he's like, yeah, I hate your friends too.
Yeah.
She goes, they're like.
And they're staring at Heather in the car.
Yeah.
Aren't they outside the convenience store at that point?
Yeah. Well, because she had honked the horn. Yeah. It was like, come on. And she goes, they're like.
Like Judge Reinhold in the Santa Claus.
Exactly. 4 seconds after they go inside, he's leaning on the horn.
at night on Christmas Eve.
And so she tells Christian Slater, they're like people I work with and our job is being popular and shit. And I just wrote, you know, you don't have to be, right? Like, she's making it sound like she was born into this and has no way out of it. You can stop hanging out with them. You can be not popular. You'll probably live through it.
And I also don't think she wouldn't not be popular.
Yeah.
Usually when a popular group breaks up, I feel like some of the, like, it would break up the loyalty of the student body.
Yes.
But now, granted, the other Heather would probably be more feared, so she would probably get more people.
Exactly, but
Winona Ryder wouldn't just all of a sudden become Artie Lang.
Yeah, exactly. She's like relegated to this farthest corner, and nobody talks to her, and this and that. Yeah, exactly. It's just it's so wah wah me, but it's like it doesn't need to be because like she obviously has some sort of a courage because she's able to murder people, but take that courage and just be like, I'm not going to do this anymore, and have that be it. But
they go to this party. I'm at the party. They go to this party, and they're set up with two college guys. Within 5 minutes, Heather One just blows her date, and obviously, Winona Ryder is not interested at all in her date.
Right, and understandably so. He looks like an older guy,
and then
look like a college guy.
Wait, hold on. What? I have a quote. Okay.
Was it about her speech?
No. Well, she completely turns down the guy she's dated that she's supposed to be dating or hooking up with, and I guess he then goes and tells his buddy and the other Heather.
Yeah.
So then the Heather comes to her and she goes, "What's your damage? Brett said you're acting like a real coos."
Yeah, I laughed at that too.
A real coos.
Brett's like, acting like a real coos.
I love it. I love the term coos.
I have three notes between the last one that I did with the hypocrite thing and just going through. So again, she writes in her journal. I just said, why does she write like that? It's huge and scrawly, like a little kid.
Yeah, that was my next note. It was just more diary on hating on Heather.
Yeah. Then my next note after that is all caps. I don't understand anything in this movie. So Winona Ryder goes, and she hates blonde Heather, but goes to hang out with blonde Heather. Winona Ryder goes to give a feminist speech to the guy that wants to bang her, and he tells her that he doesn't give a shit. He says, save your speeches for Malcolm X. I just want to get laid. But she goes, and then she says he doesn't deserve the speech that he doesn't care about anyway. So she walks out like this.
You
like,
don't even deserve my speech.
Yeah, she walks out feeling like morally superior, and he already said, whatever it is you're going to say, I don't care. Like, it could be a good point. It could be, I don't give a shit.
She's just being a coos.
Yeah. Then she tells Blonde Heather that she feels sick and is going to puke, then does. And that's something to be super embarrassed about at a party where you don't know anybody and hate them anyway. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Then Blonde Heather is mad about that she puked, even though she told her she was going to puke, and tells her that she's going to destroy her, and she's going to tell everyone on Monday about this. And I was like, if I went to school on Monday and found out that, if I went to school on Monday
and found out that a popular girl
and found out that someone said I went to a college party and drank so much that I puked, I would be a legend.
Yeah,
like you would be doing me a favor.
Same thing. Like if I went to school and I heard a story like about one of the girls in the popular group. It went to a college party, got wasted and puked.
Yeah, I'd be like, wow. Not bad.
Yeah, especially in high school, you're like, that's badass.
She's a junior, too, at least at this point, or at least Blonde Heather is. Next comes a number of notes, all in caps, such as, why does she have a monocle? Then
who?
Winona Ryder. Every time she writes in her journal, she has a monocle.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, my God. So it's weird. So weird.
That is so weird.
Then when she's frantically and feverishly scribbling about how she wishes that Blonde Heather would die, Christian Slater shows up like Sam on...
That's what I wrote, Clarissa.
So explains it all.
I wrote Slater. I guess it's... Oh, Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Slater comes in the window like Sam from Clarissa. Then they talk for like 2 seconds. She doesn't even know this dude.
Yeah.
They go outside and they bang.
She met him like the day before or like that day.
Yeah. In her yard, they bang.
Yeah. But how does he know where she lives? And how does he know what window she is?
Yeah. And you have to imagine that's a monster house.
Yeah. Like none of this, I don't understand. Then they decide... They decide jokingly that they're going to kill Blonde
Heather. Next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Slater's voice is driving me insane. Like I wrote, it's driving me insane at this point.
Yeah, so then why don't we just murder her?
Murder her.
Sound like her.
I don't know. It's just, it's so weird.
Yeah.
They want to make her sick. Veronica wants to make her sick.
Yes. But, so that she pukes.
Yeah.
Since she's going to tell everyone that she puked.
Correct.
Christian Slater wants to murder her.
Well, jokingly says that they should put that cleaning solution
and
fluid.
And then does. Puts it in a cup and then pours it out of that cup and puts it into another cup.
No, she takes the wrong cup.
Well, no, but before that, he pours it into one glass and she's like, she's not going to drink that, you know, something that color. And he's like, we'll put it in another cup. Puts it into
a
teacup. And I thought that was going to pay off. Like her parents die too because they didn't wash the cup that originally held the fucking cleaning shit. But that didn't happen. But,
They basically want to trick her with a hangover cure
right.
to make her throw up. And Winona Ryder is suggesting milk mixed with orange juice,
right?
Which is gross.
Certainly.
I don't know if it'd make me throw up, though.
Yeah, I mean, she is already hungover, so it is a little bit different circumstances. Like, just drinking it on its own, it probably wouldn't. But if your stomach is already queasy, that may... Because it's essentially the acid in the juice is going to curdle the milk.
Yeah, so right, almost immediately.
Yeah, so it's gonna fuck your stomach up if it's already messed up. Winona Ryder is totally not creeped out that Christian Slater wants to kill Blonde Heather and is absolutely willing to do it.
Yeah.
And then both of them freak out when she dies.
No. I don't think at this time but she's not going to do it. And she thinks he's joking about it. But then she brings the wrong cup.
Yeah. And he knows.
And he knows, but she doesn't.
Right.
So...
Right.
Yeah.
No, I said both of them freak out when Heather dies, but neither of them wonders why they actually put poison in a cup and left it on the counter. And also, Christian Slater has no room to be surprised since he knew that she took the wrong cup and went through with it anyway.
I wonder if it would kill her that quick like it did.
It was. She took like the tiniest sip before she drank the rest of it, and it was already like messing her up. So I don't think so.
Interesting.
That was very, very quick.
But the face plant through the glass table was awesome.
That was something. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it.
I
thought we were going to get some of the, like the trick-or-treat poison vomit. Like when the kid in trick-or-treat eats the candy bar and it just pukes and it's all just like brown.
It's like chocolate mixed with blood.
Yeah, just like brown stream. I thought we were going to see some of that, but we didn't. How and why is Winona Ryder a handwriting chameleon? That's never answered.
But at least it's referenced. So then when this part comes up, you're like,
how are they believing that the... Yeah. So after this, they so again, Christian Slater and Winona Ryder decide that the only way that they're going to be able to get out of this scot-free is to make it look like she committed suicide.
Correct.
And so they're coming up with a suicide note, but they're both smarter than blonde Heather.
Yes.
And so one of the main points is Christian Slater uses the word myriad.
Yeah.
The meaning of which, of course, is to describe a variety of or yes. numerous examples of. And Winona Ryder's like, she wouldn't know how to use myriad. So then when we switch to the next scene where it's a group of teachers meeting to decide.
This made me and Sydney laugh. Yeah,
to decide how they're going to handle it. The principal wants to. One of the teachers is suggesting closing the school for half a day. The principal doesn't want to do it because he feels like she didn't. Even though she was very popular, it's not worth closing the school for the day. Then it cuts to another teacher who just mentions that she's just impressed that she was able to use the word myriad properly in the note. And it's one of the points that's brought up when they're writing the
note.
Definitely
one of the funnier, real funny jokes in the movie.
It's good. And again, this is again.
Once again, everybody is so chill. Like,
exactly. And again,
I think you even see before this the parents of Winona Ryder.
I don't.
Or is it right after?
I think
regardless,
it's right after this.
But they are chill. The teachers are kind of chill about it.
Yeah.
Even Winona Ryder and Christian Slater are chill about it as they're doing it. Like,
yeah.
They're like almost joking as they
exactly.
write the note.
Exactly. And. And so after this is when Winona Ryder goes home and says that she has to motor if she wants to make the funeral.
Second time.
Yep.
They're really trying to make motor work.
Wait, where was I?
I'm at the locker room.
The only note I have on that is, damn, Winona Ryder actually looks hot in that shower scene.
Yes,
like,
I wrote 80s moment with the swatch watch.
Yeah.
And then Winona has a tight-ass body when she wets herself down in the shower.
The body, the face,
like,
everything.
She
looked fucking
good.
Hot
yeah,
in that
she
scene.
Did.
I like that.
Was she the girl in Drop Dead Fred?
No, that's
Who
Phoebe
it?
Cates.
Phoebe Cates. We got to do... See, I'm so afraid that movie won't stand up
for
me.
I never watched it as a kid, so I already know that I'm going to, like, hate it.
Oh, okay.
Everything
see, I loved
it
as a teenager kid.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot of the guy playing Fred doing like a poopy, like stupid crap like that. But I don't know. I think I hope it holds up.
When we were listening to that Rush album a couple of weeks ago, I was there was one, I forget what song it was, but the beginning of it had some sort of synth work, and it made me think of the Space Circus from fucking Star Wars Holiday Special. So stupid.
Space holographic Cirque du Soleil. Okay, so after the locker room, they're in the classroom and the teacher's trying to get them to share their feelings. And once again, I think you have another scene where they cut around to different kids and it's all like random crap.
A little bit of that, but she also goes... she makes a huge deal because she has the suicide note. She goes, and everyone, I have Heather's suicide note. And everyone's like, and so, and they all just talk about how she's this tragic figure, this tragic soul that they all.
Well, they talk about how she's more popular now than she was when she was alive.
This is where you start to see that this is how it happens. And then with the next victims, the same thing happens, and it's very very ironic and very good. I like it.
Like they want to do a full spread in the yearbook and all this other stuff for Heather. Then I have the next thing is they're at Christian Slater's house, and I have a news report, and then you meet Christian Slater's dad.
Oh well, so after the shower scene, and then
looked hot.
Yeah,
and she looked hot.
And then the classroom scene, I guess, is when Winona Ryder goes back to her parents. And says, I better motor if I want to make this funeral. Because then they have, again, the montage thing of everybody praying.
While they're sitting around so chill at the table, Winona Ryder's dad goes, so what was the first day after Heather's suicide feel like?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Okay, this is this kind of movie.
And she was like, okay, I guess. Like, it's nothing. But I did mention that. I said, so is the point of the scenes with Winona Ryder's parents to show that her life is boring and unsatisfying and that it's not Heather's fault? Like, now that Heather is gone, she's not the reason you were upset, you know? But she still doesn't realize that?
I don't know.
Because again, the parents are just these cardboard cutouts, like NPC characters, where they just have this standard dialogue that
I don't
they
know.
Have to
I don't think it's that she didn't like her life. I think she wanted to do what. I think this is actually a statement on how 2018-19 have gone and the past few, let's say, 5 years with this anti-bullying thing.
Right.
All her and Christian Slater wanted to do was eliminate bullies.
Yeah.
But the bullies will always be there.
The bullies will always be there.
No matter how. Yeah, exactly.
And
so it's like
you're.
It's kind of like a statement, like saying you're never going to get rid of the bullies. So that's what I think this movie's showing, because Winona Ryder wants to get rid of the bullies, but as she kills each one of them off, nothing changes. A new bully just takes that spot.
Exactly. Yeah. And then at the very end, spoilers, she gets the bow. And so now she can, of course, and we'll talk about it when we get to the end, she can, of course, use that that influence to do whatever it is that she wants to do. But it's. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It is a very good allegory for these times that we've been having, where after a while, if you can't spot the bully, but you're the one telling everyone who the bully is, you're the bully.
Yeah, and there's always going to be a bully.
Yeah,
it's just life,
and there should be.
Yeah, like, toughen
there
people up.
Needs to be. Like,
I don't agree with people like physically beating people.
Right, of
whatever,
course
but,
not. And
but
I,
a little
I
don't bullying
like any of
here and there,
killing themselves because
correct.
They can't deal with it or anything like that. But at the same time, there needs to be adversity.
Yep.
Academic adversity cannot be the only adversity you face in your life. Otherwise, when academic is no longer there, unless you're literally just going to stay completely within academia, how are you going to deal with people? How are you going to overcome any sort of adversity? You can't. That's not everyone else's job to worry about that for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And I would say the kids, I mean, I don't know. It's like we said, a little bit of fair weather bullying. Is always going to bullying's always going to be there, but fair weather bullying and a little bit of that is just people build make people stronger in the long run.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you get to the funeral, and at the funeral, still somehow the nerds fight with the somehow there's a fight at the funeral.
Yeah.
And the jocks run over and grab the nerds and says, "You piece of shit fag, you like to suck big dicks." And I'm like, wow, like this movie is just pushing
then,
that
and
shit.
Then the nerd tries to outthink him. He's like, fine, I'll say it.
No, because he
you
says,
love
say,
big dicks.
No, because he's like, say you love, say you like big dicks. Say you like big dicks. He's like, fine, you like big dicks. And then he just beats him up even more.
And Christian Slater eyes him by from his motorcycle to let you know these guys are fucking next.
Then who are the? Is it those two football players who end up going going out with the now the new commanding Heather and
yes.
Winona Ryder?
Yes.
Okay, so they go out, and she only goes just she knows she's not going to hook up with this person.
Yeah,
she's
she has
Christian
no intention
Slater.
Of hooking up with
she's
this
doing a solid for her friend.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, just I'll go, but just please tell me this isn't just going to be them getting drunk and tipping cows in a field and laughing at it. And
that's exactly what it is.
And
lion-faced Heather looks cute in this scene because she's so like embarrassed and just like doesn't want to deal with it. Just the way her facial expressions are, she looks really cute during this scene.
So they do go cow tipping, and then after that, they want to like obviously the one guy
they
wants to hook
bang.
Up with the Heather, and I think the scene is hilarious because the one dude is doing something. The Winona Ryder sees Christian Slater show up at like the top of this hill.
Yeah.
She goes up to meet him, and while she's talking to Christian Slater, the guy who's there with Heather the new Heather mm-hmm. boss is just raping her in the field. Like it's literally her being like, get off, and he's just raping her. Like if you really look at it, just that's all it looks like.
Was she saying get off?
It seemed like she didn't want to be having sex right in the field.
Yeah,
right there.
I just note again that I dislike Christian Slater's character, not just for his quasi-intellectuality that was 6 or 7 years too early, but also that he's a murdering sociopath, and that doesn't seem to be a problem for Winona Ryder. He mentions that he pulls up. Again, I don't know how he knows where she is. They're just in this field.
And he shows up.
And he's like there. And he says something like, what the hell's going on, or what the hell is this? And so she says, I'm just here as a favor to Heather, blah, blah, blah. And he says, if my closed captioning is to be believed, he then says, our love is God. And then he kisses her, and she gets on the bike, and they leave. Like, what does that mean?
That can't be the right line.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Next day at school, the two football players said that they tagged Team Winona Ryder's mouth.
They said that they had a sword fight in her mouth.
Yeah. Which also seems a little gay.
Yeah. I mean, you are
just because there's a girl's mouth there.
You're touching heads.
Yeah. Just because there's a girl's mouth around them, you know.
Bah, bah. Oh, I gotcha. Now, what's also weird is the girl, the dopey girl that said she'd give all her money to the homeless, now seems to be stepping up to be mean to Veronica. So it's either
Does she?
Yeah.
Is this when they hang out?
Well, no, this is when she, the girl who said that she was going to give all her money to the homeless person, to the homeless people, is the one who tells her, oh, those guys said that they banged your mouth at the same time and that you loved it. But she's really snide when she says it, and she's it seems really mean. And so part of me wonders if she's, A, trying to step up to be the new Heather, or B, she doesn't care about that, but just has always wanted to say something to Veronica, but was afraid of other Heather. It's never expounded upon.
See, I thought she was just being a friend and maybe hoping she could become the fourth now that there's three.
Oh, no. Again, we're not talking about necessarily the girl that she was friends with before she became popular. It's another girl.
Oh, okay.
Who it seems like is just being mean just to be mean.
So now Winona Ryder and Christian Slater basically are going to frame those two football players
right.
for being gay and shooting each other because of their gay love.
And now Winona Ryder is of the impression that they're going to load the guns with blanks. And Christian Slater tells her, no, they're not going to be blanks.
They're magical guns.
Yeah.
He tells her basically that the bullets go in but don't pierce too deep.
Yeah, so it causes blood.
It causes blood and it knocks you out from the impact, but it doesn't kill you.
What cinches it?
Yeah, those exist.
What cinches it is that he says that his grandfather took a whole case of these from the Nazis in World War II. You know those Nazis who they didn't want to kill.
They didn't want to kill people.
They were really icky about the killing, so they didn't. They had to use fake bullets. So fucking silly. And she believes it, and they call that into question later. I'm glad. They call that into question later where she's like, oh, I can't believe I believe that. It was so stupid because it just is. He really sells around the idea that his grandfather stole a box of bullets from the Nazis that weren't deadly like real bullets, just fake dangerous.
So the football guys get tricked to going out because Winona Ryder says, hey, I'll bang, let you both bang my mouth. You know, come out to this field before school and you can have your way with it.
She tells them, meet me in this place at dawn. And then we cut to it, and it's like 9 a.m.
Yeah,
like,
clearly not dawn. Yeah. But they get them naked or whatever, and I guess then Christian Slater pops out, and Christian Slater shoots one dude right like in the throat or something.
Shoots Bud right in the throat.
Then the other guy that Winona misses,
yep.
And he goes running, and Christian Slater chases him back to Winona, who then shoots him.
Yes.
Now, why didn't he shoot him? He only had one bullet?
No, they needed to make it look like they shot each other.
So they needed each gun.
Since you already shot the one guy, he couldn't shoot the other guy. The one jock is able to run for a really long time and really far in just socks. They also apparently had only like 20 yards of woods to be able to use because it's the same three wood sets for the next like 20 minutes from the cops chasing them onward.
So a cop hears the gunshot. So
these two cops are sitting in a cop car getting stoned in the woods.
Yeah. But they hear the gunshot and they go and investigate it. They think they hear something, which they do. They hear Winona and Christian Slater running away.
Yeah.
But by the time they get there, they run after him and they don't find him. And the one cop does eventually find them, but it's just they hop into their car.
Yep. And it looks like they're just making out.
So when the cops come back and they're looking over this whole situation, one cop goes, oh, man, they were fags. Yeah. And I'm like, wow.
This ties into, I mean, my other note prior to the killing. I said Christian Slater unveils his genius bag of gay stuff to plant at the scene of the jock murder. And it's all like barely circumstantial gay stuff. Like one's like a gay porno mag, which of course.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And then one is like a picture of like Elizabeth Taylor. One of them is like a
certain type of champagne.
Yeah. Like mineral water.
Yeah.
And the cop holds up the mineral water. That's when the cop's like,
they were gay.
Oh, man, they were fags. Like that's all they... It's like barely circumstantial.
Love that they got buried in their football uniforms.
Yeah, not even just the uniforms, just the helmets.
The helmets.
So stupid.
And then they did it in the trailer.
The dad
made me laugh so
hard.
I love my dead gay son. It reminded me of like a
like something, a comedy like Dewey Cox.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. From the helmets on the dead bodies to that, to the, to, well, the, to language.
It's the language of the dead. I love my dead gay son. It's like when he goes, I can't build you a candy house. It'll melt when it rains. And then her delivery back is, it won't if it never rains. Yeah. Like that.
So, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, she was great for a while. And then she did Ghostbusters.
And she did Ghostbusters.
Did you see that? It was weeks ago, but that fake Ghostbusters 3 movie poster?
No,
because they're doing Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say fake trailer, and I was like, oh, was it fake? Are they not really?
No, they are doing a movie, but someone put out a fake movie poster, and it's the logo with 3,
uh-huh.
And then right above it in the Ghostbusters like glowing writing, mm-hmm. It says never send a woman to do a man's job.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I loved it. I was like, please let that be the poster.
Met. Well met.
Some of you on the internet are good. You're good. I have to give you that.
Every time I think I'm done with the internet, I find something like that.
I'm going to stick around. Trendy, when she's back in her room, I wrote very trendy dresser.
Yeah.
She had this dresser where each drawer's handle was a different, like one was an exclamation point, one was like a period, one was a semicolon, and one was like a question mark.
I didn't note it, but yeah.
Yeah. It was, I don't know, it's just trendy, cool, 80s moment. Holding hands. Oh, okay. They're holding hands.
By this point, I'm just watching the movie for the most part.
Well, Christian Slater and Winona Ryder are in like a cafe or diner or something, and they're holding hands. And why does it then talk about Artie Lang again? I wrote holding hands. Oh, holding hands in the cafeteria. Why does Artie Lang hide under the table?
Because that's when the news crew comes in.
Because what's the point? I don't understand.
I guess she just doesn't want to be involved in it at all.
And then you learn of the song Teenage Suicide, Don't Do It
by Big Fun.
And Winona breaks up with Christian Slater. She's done. Does he mention that he wants to murder someone else and she's like, we're done? Or is she just done after the football players?
I think she's done after the football players because I think he's very proud of himself, and she still is trying.
Oh yeah,
to
because
not.
In the end, she didn't think they were going to kill them.
Yeah,
but they did.
And she says like,
that was the end of the end of the line when she was like, "You're really enjoying murdering people."
Right, and like after they escape from the cops, they're sitting in front of the school in the car, and she basically says like, "The plan wasn't to kill these guys; it was just to do this." And he's like, "You knew the plan was to always kill these guys, like you know." You let me tell you this story about these fake bullets because you needed something to help you believe that you weren't going to be murdering two more people, but you knew that you were. And then there's a yelling match back and forth. But then again, during the sit-in or whatever, when the news crew comes, he's very proud of himself. And that's, I think, like you said, she's like, this is like, you're not even like a real person, you know, like you're crazy.
And he's not.
No.
It's just the way he acts.
Yeah, exactly.
That when she said that line, the cameras were rolling, but they were just, they weren't filming for the movie. The cameras were rolling for maybe a making up. They were like, you know, we're going to use that. She's just telling Christian Slater that. Christian Slater wants Brenda or Heather 3 to become the queen bee at this point.
Yep.
Now Heather 2 is. She's still alive.
Oh yeah. This is just about when Heather 2 is going to kill herself, right? She goes to take all the sleeping pills.
And Winona Ryder stops her. Yeah.
So is that at this point?
I think.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I just said Christian Slater convinces Shannon Doherty to be the new head Heather, and she acts like a bitch the whole time now.
Oh, no, no. No, it's not it. Oh. It's coming up. Oh,
okay.
So Winona Ryder makes friends with her old glasses friend.
Right.
Artie Lang is alone in the gym eating lunch.
She spills that soda on herself.
Yeah, just so pathetic. I had the exact. This is where I said. I think I said this on. Told you this on the live show. When her parents are watching everyone be interviewed on the news.
Yeah,
I had the exact same TV as a kid. Exactly. And then Artie Lang is walking with a note pinned to her chest.
Presumably a suicide.
Yeah, and she's going to go walk out into traffic and get hit by a car.
Yep.
But she doesn't end up. She doesn't end up dying. And then for some reason, this is where it comes up, they turn on cheerleader Heather.
Yeah.
Heather 2. Why? And that's when she tries to take pills because everyone turns on her. But but why?
I don't.
And what did they tell everybody? I don't remember what the, I remember her being an outcast, even though she's still a cheerleader, which I don't buy.
Yeah. No, I don't remember what that catalyst was.
They did something
to
her.
Oh, no. Was it... They were listening to a radio show, and she called in or something, right?
Yeah, and Brenda used it against her.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So, yeah, she tries to take pills to die, but Winona Ryder saves her life.
I'm glad. She seemed like enough of a sweetheart. She didn't do anything terribly mean throughout this movie that I saw.
So, Christian Slater wants Brenda to become Queen Bee.
Yes.
And part of the way he thinks that this can happen is if she gets everybody in the school to sign a petition to get the band Big Fun to come and perform their suicide song, Don't Do It.
Because now
they're being known as a suicide
right,
school.
Right. Now that they've had three in the past like month, it's getting to be a huge deal. And again, not only that, the same thing that we saw with original Blonde Heather, where she has these good-hearted attributes given to her posthumously, we see also with the two jocks what their suicide note said was basically that they were in love with each other and they realized that they could that because of how society treats gays and how the social hierarchy is with them as jocks, they would never be able to show their love, and so they have to, you know, they've killed each other, and they're allowed it as these activists, these brave and noble souls, and so everything's just kind of backfiring on Winona Ryder now.
So when does Brenda take the red, like, scrunchie?
I believe that's now. Christian Slater gives it to her. He's basically like, oh yeah, I found this, or something like that. I don't know the exact exchange.
Okay.
But he has it, and he gives it to her, and then she comes out wearing it, and that's... Because when she comes out wearing it, that's when Winona Ryder has gone into Heather One's locker, and she's like looking at all the stuff, and then Shannon Doherty comes up and said, you know, they have some sort of words, and Shannon Doherty starts taking shit from her locker and putting it in her pockets and shit like that. It's just
you would have thought her locker would have been clean because there were like earrings and necklaces.
Yeah, instead all there was like a sticker that said like, "Don't open this locker."
Yeah, and then you could just open
and
it.
Winona Ryder's like, "Let me just go ahead and open this."
So they want to get everyone to sign this petition. Christian Slater does try to get back with Winona Ryder, but she completely refuses him.
Yes.
But then, because of that, he is really in love with her. He is now turning, it seems like he's turning his, gonna kill you onto Winona Ryder.
Right.
And when he gives her this, it says, when he gives her the note or whatever that says, recognize this handwriting, that was Winona's handwriting, right?
Think so?
Proving that he could then do
it. I guess
it. She's
he could
next.
Do what she does?
That's what I... Well, and that she's next.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know? So Slater sneaks into her house and is... Okay, this becomes a dream. So maybe...
Is it, though?
So I don't know if the handwriting part, her realizing that he can write her handwriting,
right.
I don't know if that is, but then him sneaking in, he's going to kill Brenda, something I wrote, Moby Dick.
In the beginning of the movie, Shannon Doherty is reading that and then, oh, gives it to him. And she's like, oh, I won't be needing this anymore because I guess she's going to be too busy being popular. And so now he was going to mark that up to help make the suicide note for Brenda so that they can kill her too.
Yeah. And he was highlighting certain things that were like negative and sad and pathetic.
Right.
And then you go to Brenda's funeral, which, of course, this is a dream.
Yeah.
And it's a 3D funeral.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that was really funny. Like, I was like, I want a 3D funeral.
What's
like,
also funny
how
is
would you do that?
Right before that, he tells Brenda, or he tells Winona Ryder to join in, to do what he's been doing, and highlight a passage, a meaningful passage, so that they'll understand what she said. And Winona Ryder just highlights the word Eskimo, and he's like, that doesn't make any sense, but I love it. That's going to drive them crazy. And so when they switch to the funeral, where the priest is played by Otho from Beetlejuice.
Okay.
What's it called? It starts with the vantage point, I guess, of Brenda's dead body. So you're looking up at him, and then it switches right side up, and he just goes, Eskimo. Just another, something we couldn't understand from this brave soul or something like that. And so it's, again, just this thing that Winona Ryder didn't give a shit about what she did, but it wound up serving the nefarious purpose anyway. And it's just everyone. It just seems like townspeople from The Simpsons are like South Park.
Yeah,
it's like everyone's stupid.
They get into rabbles.
Like real easy to like manipulate emotionally. But yeah, the 3D funeral.
So she wakes up from this dream. Brenda, obviously, or Shannon Doherty, whatever. She's not really dead. And she's writing her what she's calling her last diary entry.
Yeah.
And she's basically, so she's going to kill herself.
Yeah.
So then Christian Slater does sneak in real life, but finds her hanging.
Yeah. That took me by surprise.
And like, then her mom comes in, freaks out, but she's
But she doesn't freak out. Well, she has like,
oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, I should have let you take that job at the mall.
And that's it.
What world is this?
Either way, she didn't kill herself, but Christian Slater has left thinking she's dead. Well, kind of like a Goonies style.
Yeah.
Where she had the other thing around her, like holding her up so that it wasn't actually hanging her.
Right, exactly.
Let's see. So,
what, like Goonies style?
At the very beginning of Goonies, when... that guy?
Yeah.
When he's escaping from the jail, he hangs himself.
Oh, that's
but he's
right.
Using like a pipe.
At the very beginning, that's
he's
right.
He's using a pipe to hold to his belt and then to the thing to keep him up.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
You schmuck.
Butter
you think I'd be... You really think I'd be dumb enough to kill myself? So then you find out on this day that the petition that was signed by all the students had tape over it.
Now, I like...
Like, who wouldn't have noticed that?
I like that you find... Yeah, I know. But I like how you find out that Shannon Doherty manipulated everyone with that. And she's so proud of herself. And she's like, some people just need convincing in different ways. And then, of course, you find out in the grand scheme of Christian Slater's, he did the same thing to her.
Yeah,
and so it's just
it was not a petition to get Big Fun to play. It was a mass school wide suicide note where it says that they're going to bomb themselves in the school and all collectively kill themselves
because of how society treats teenagers. And I think I don't know if it's at this point, but there's one point where Winona Ryder is talking to her parents, and she basically says like. You know, I wish society would treat us like people or like treat us like grown-ups. And the mom is basically like tired of her shit.
Wow. Sorry about that.
That was wacky.
I hit that by accident. You know what that was?
No.
Oh, okay. It's our ending song.
Oh, okay.
For this segment.
No. But,
we'll figure it out. But we're close. So I was setting it up and the wrong thing on our soundboard was up.
Fair enough. That's
on me.
Fair enough.
Even though in the booth, Lewis has the option, like, if he moves his up or down, mine move up and down.
Okay, that makes sense.
And same back and forth.
Right.
And he should have seen that and put it down. So it's his own fault. It should have been down.
Ever since Henning hasn't come back, Lewis doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
It's like if someone kicked his dog.
I think I need to now, I mean, Jeff does everything except for that.
I know.
And so I'm thinking maybe moving Jeff over to doing everything and that.
And just have Lewis.
You're fired.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
get out of here.
No, fair enough.
We'll see. I mean, I'm at the very end, the whole ending.
What were we?
The suicide pact, and then they're going to blow up the school.
Blow up the school.
She faked it, so he's setting up all the bombs while they're at a pep rally.
Yeah.
And the whole school's at this pep rally, and he's setting up the bombs and everything. And Winona Ryder stops him with, like, a gun, but she doesn't know how to wield the gun. So he just takes it away from her in a second.
And the reason she's able to figure out kind of how the plan is going to work of his is because his dad is a real estate developer. And
Does this mean that he killed the mom?
Yes. It either means that he killed the mom or that the mom served as the bomb delivery system and willingly killed herself.
Interesting.
But either way, yeah. Either way, I almost said Paul Rudd. Either way,
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater's dad is in the habit of when there are buildings that are problematic that he needs taken out of the way, he blows it up, apparently with people still inside, he mentions. Like, he shows one of them and he's like, I put a Norwegian inside there. It was like, is a Norwegian a type of bomb? Or is it like you put an actual, like, Norwegian...
I don't know.
As a lesson to all the other Norwegians in the neighborhood, I blew him up. But he talks about how he has the one main charge in the basement, and what that does is it sets off these charges up top, like we saw in 9/11. But so Winona Ryder's like, oh, okay, so because exposition occurred earlier, you're going to do the same thing that your dad does. And I like that Christian Slater doesn't treat her with kid gloves. So she has the gun pointed at him, and she's like, drop the bomb. And he's like, the bomb's already, like, on the ground. Like, and she's like, okay, all right, I saw that. Shut up. And then, like, she looks away for a second, and he goes to grab the gun. And then she kind of flails a little bit, and he, like, knees her in the face and, like, yeah. knocks her out.
Yeah.
And then later on, he, like, punches her in the face a couple times. Yep. Like, she gets all fucked. She gets beat up.
Basically, she's able to stop the bomb.
She is able to shoot him.
They end up getting into like a skirmish twice. First, he's setting stuff up, and then like you said, knocks her out when she tries to stop him. Then right. he goes, continues. She wakes up, and you think he would have
just done it.
Just offed her.
Like, yeah.
To keep her out of the way, because yeah. then the building blows up and...
Like, nobody would be the wiser. Exactly. Until the skeleton had its fucking throat cut or whatever. But, she's able to shoot him, and he's holding a switchblade or some sort of knife, and it stabs into the bomb, and it stops.
It stops the button. Stops exactly the right, or the bomb going off.
There's like 4 seconds left, and he...
You have to think, do you think he did it on purpose?
I don't know.
He had to have.
That wouldn't make any sense. Because then
he knew he was going to die and he wanted to save her. And
because he uses the bomb anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're right.
He uses the bomb pointlessly, utterly pointlessly, after this. So yeah, she thinks right. she's dead. The bomb stopped. She leaves. And when she gets outside, oh, I followed you. I'm actually not dead. And guess what, sweetie? I have a sweet new sweater vest. It's going to make you go boom. And... So she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. He says something, and she's like, whatever. He blows up. Everyone hears it. And then...
They just leave school like normal.
It switches back outside to her, and it's like a cartoon character near an explosion. So it's like her hair is blown back, and she yeah. has like soot and ash on yeah. her face. But that's it. And apparently, whatever fire there was, it was close enough to her where she lit her cigarette.
Oh, yeah. That was, oh, it was turned so into stupid. A literal Looney Tunes cartoon.
So then, after that... She goes back inside and hears Shannon Doherty coming to do something. It doesn't matter. Winona Ryder decides, you know what? I'm going to be the queen bee now. So she takes the bow, puts it in her hair, and then goes to hang out with Fat Neil.
Artie Lang. Yeah.
And then I guess they go and scissors. I don't know, something.
Interesting.
Probably carrots.
Do you think she becomes a bitch?
Or
do you think that's signifying that she's going to be nice to the queen bee who's nice to everybody?
I think the point of it is that she realizes that the school hierarchy needs a benevolent dictator. She realizes that it's a Hydra situation. Getting rid of one person is not going to solve the problem.
So she's
going
to be the queen bee in order to
help affect change.
Keep peace.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's like you need a Stalin, like you need a Hitler.
Just someone
who's
willing,
Beta O'Rourke.
Willing to pay the price for that ultimate peace. I mean, again, it's like the new guy. He comes in there and he shakes things up, and now he says, "We don't have that social hierarchy like other schools have. We treat each other as equals here, except you know, no fat chicks."
Yeah, no fat chicks. I
mean, let's be real.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, that was Heather's 1989. Shannon Doherty, Christian Slater, and Winona Ryder.
This was what you put on before?
Yeah.
Wow. I never...
It's the very beginning.
If you had given me 100 guesses, I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah, well, you heard 2 beats, so...
Yeah, but sometimes I'm pretty good with that.
Nope. I figured it'd be appropriate. It actually came out in 88, but everyone in this movie just got so emotional, baby.
So emotional, baby.
So that's what you got to do.
That's it.
When we get back from this break, we're going to be doing our final reviews and then coming up with the Midnight Jury overall final verdict. Remember to follow Cal and I on Twitter, @MidnightJury. Talk to us, engage with us. We love doing that kind of thing. We'll be right back about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll talk to you then.
Shocking. hail from Child's Play, Child's Play 2, Bride of Chucky.
This is Scotty Riggs.
Hey, this is Rocky Gray, composer for 1031 and The Barn.
Hi, I'm Paige. I am the creator and director of Fredheads, the documentary.
Hello. Salutations. My name is Jeremy Todd Moorhead, and I'm the star of Fredheads.
This is Mitchell Mussolino. I play Sam in the horror film The Barn, and you are listening to The Midnight Jury.
You're listening to The Midnight Jury.
You're listening to The Midnight Jury.
And you're listening to The Midnight Jury.
Hey, what's up? It's Mike again. I know you are a diehard Midnight Jury fan. I know that because you've gotten through most of our episode and made it to our final ad break this week. You are our most important listeners, and we appreciate everything you do for us. That's why we need you to help us fight against censorship and make sure you like, retweet, and share our stuff on Twitter and Facebook at Midnight Jury. Our free speech has been threatened. We've been censored on iTunes and kicked off of previous networks, and we will always have the last laugh. If you tell five friends and they tell five friends, we can take over the globe. It's up to you, our most diehard jury listeners. Please continue your loyal support, and we will continue to say what we want and speak our minds on whatever topic we deem necessary. But now, it's time to finish this ad break and end out the show.
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Broadcasting from outside the Big Apple. This is WLWstudios.com, New York City.
We are back, and we're here to do our final reviews and final verdict for 1989. Heathers, I'm Mike Dorenganger.
And I'm Calvin Brody.
All right, Cal, go ahead.
This, again, I had never seen this movie before. I knew about it. I knew it was a thing that existed. I knew that its classification was as that of a dark comedy. But I didn't know any specifics behind it. Normally, Christian Slater doesn't bother me. He has one movie called Pump Up the Volume, which I love, that I got into as a, kind of a younger kid with Corsi. And so I sort of understand, or not understand, but I can endure his Christian Slater-ness just fine most of the time. But, yeah, between his Kevin Williamson dialogue and just the way he seems to play up the Christian Slater-ness, it was a bit of a chore at times. Overall, I enjoyed it. I don't know that it's a movie that I would ever be like, oh, man, I want to watch Heathers again. But it's not a movie that if someone's like, hey, do you want to watch Heathers? I would be like, ugh, get out. Or I have to leave or anything like that. And so because of that, and really because of kind of the – it's not schlock, but – just kind of the over-the-top ridiculousness of it. It's a perfectly fine B movie, and that's exactly what I gave it.
A B?
A B.
All right. Yeah, it's Christian Slater's the only person who really bothered me in the film. Everyone else, I had no problem with their performances. I think everybody else did good. Mm-hmm. Once I got it, once I realized what I was watching, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I thought it had some good, funny parts. It's definitely a movie I would watch again. I think the ending leaves a little bit to be desired. And Christian Slater. Those are your two minuses. Everything else is a plus. Winona Ryder, Shannon Doherty, the other Heathers, Artie Lang.
We're going to have to check out that that remake.
I think I'm going to. Yeah. I mean, just to see what's up with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I was originally, I think critically, it's a B minus, and that's what I was originally going to give it. But I think I agree with you. I think it's a B.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's hit that midnight jury gavel to deliver the overall final verdict.
All right.
The verdict is in, and it's never hard with me and Cal. The overall final verdict for Heathers is a B.
All right. I'm holding my microphone. I can't clap.
Yeah. No, it was. But I'll tell you, me and you are usually within a few grades of each
other. That's true.
So we do need to get either Tony back eventually with his differentiated Fs or Adam with his...
The first 30 minutes of this was stupid. We didn't need it. You could have just left that out and we would have been 30 minutes closer to the end of the movie.
We are the Midnight Jury. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean, good movie.
No, I really... Something about Shannon Doherty's voice really turned me on in this movie, too.
And you also don't notice her lopsided eyes as much in this.
I didn't notice it at all.
Oh, man. If you look at season one of 90210,
yeah,
it's very obvious that she has sloth eyes.
Really?
She has eyes that one's up and one's down. And it's even more noticeable. It's even more noticeable in the first season one of 90210 when she's looking in a mirror.
Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's grotesque. And somehow
grotesque.
In later 90210 she started to have bangs and cut them so that they went with her eyes. So it was less noticeable.
Right.
But in the first season, they just didn't have the budget and everything to do all the makeup and everything, and it's really obvious.
Keep
and
in mind,
this
folks.
They did a, I think they did a good job. I think this was a higher budget than the first season of 90210.
Possibly. Was it $3 million, I think we said?
I don't remember. I just think that this movie just had a higher, because it's a film.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Had a higher standard on makeup and how your hair is done and everything. And 90210, like I said, she gets less noticeable as she got into season like two or three or four.
Well, this was 89. When was season one of 90210?
89, 90.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow, that soon.
I mean, latest 91.
For some reason, I thought it was like 92, 93.
Oh.
I'd say 3 years was.
Let's look that up.
Enough time for her face to not get the memo. Now, folks, again, the bearded lady in the old days of the sideshow, the carnival sideshow, was described as grotesque. And that is just about on the same level as lazy-eyed Shannon Doherty.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was 1990 to 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So, yeah, so this...
Did you hear their reboot? Not rebooting it. They're bringing back most of the cast. And starting, again, they're doing more. But the problem is from everything I'm reading and hearing from the cast, like they're bringing Jason Priestley back, Tori Spelling, David, I think, Ian Ziering, Jenny Garth.
Probably Claire.
I saw. But everything I'm reading says that they're going to be playing different characters.
No.
Why?
That doesn't make any sense.
Why would that? That's. I'm telling you. That's. I think I heard. I saw an interview with Jason Priestley where he said that.
Dislike.
Yeah, I dislike that.
So they're going to call it Beverly Hills 90210.
It's going to be. It's going to be like this new season of Roseanne or the Connors,
right?
Or like these new season of Full House or whatever.
Right. Just a continuation like that, of the.
But they're going to be just playing different people. How can we accept that?
That doesn't make
as
sense.
Fans. How could we watch?
Why would you get that many people from the old show together to play not those characters from the old show?
Agreed.
Like, oh, everyone just really wants, like, the public doesn't want to see that cast playing those characters. They just want to see that cast.
Let's talk about it.
Sure.
All right. We're going to off air.
Oh, of course.
I am your 21st century broadcasting Marvel Midnight Mike Norenganger.
I'm your very best hates to be popular pal, Calvin Brody.
I can't wait to see you next time.
Bye.